LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pop quiz. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. That, of course, is Kyle Yates. That tall drink of water is Dan Harris. And it's you. And today, we're talking about the pressing questions. That's right, it's full court press time here in Fantasy Football draft season. And we're going to press the important questions on my two friends here as we continue to see if we can set a Guinness Book of World Records for how many shows and how much we can talk to each other in a full day, a full week. I don't know what records we're going for, but we're going to shatter all of them here, Fantasy Pros, for you. Not everybody else, just you, the person listening, the person watching on our YouTube. And if you're watching on YouTube or listening, don't forget, today's the 19th. It's Fantasy Football Festival Friendship. Make sure you go over to our YouTube channel and watch, because we got the live stream going from 10 a.m. in the morning till 10 p.m. at night. Incredible guests, incredible topics, incredible fun. And Yates, with all of this stuff going on and on, are you having Dan Harris dreams because of all the time you're spending together now?
I told you before Dan jumped into the recording room that last night, because Dan and I did four shows together yesterday,
cue the music.
As I was falling asleep last night, you know how we have like this inner monologue, like inner voice that maybe that's just me, I don't know, but it was Dan Harris's voice, like just the inflection, everything. I could not get it out of my head. So Dan, you have the phrase all the time, like, this is my nightmare. That was my nightmare, literally falling asleep with your voice in my head, because we did so many freaking shows together yesterday and we're back here again.
Could you imagine Dan's voice in a spa retreat kind of thing? Like, you go in, you're supposed to be all relaxed. They're going to give you a massage. He's like, okay, take off your clothes, everybody.
Just is that what I relaxed. Sound like, by the
a
way?
Little can bit. We talk
about that was it? Like identical. Like good. If I closed it's my eyes, I couldn't close. Tell the difference between Joe and Dan talking.
Let's get this, to Happy Land.
This is my nightmare. Okay, just so you know. There you go. That's what it is. It's funny, guys, because I assume you feel the same way. Like, you know, you... when you hear your voice to yourself, it sounds different than, you know, what everybody else hears. And I don't know about you guys, like, I love the way I sound to myself. It's brilliant. It's got a nice baritone voice. And then I sound like Joey P just did when I hear it to everybody else. So I hate it. But Yates, if you are hearing my voice in your sleep or whatever, then you're doing something right. You're doing well. So keep it going.
Yeah, you are.
It's called crushing good. Life, Yates. That's what it's yes, called. And correct. Speaking, if you can't get enough Dan Harris voice, don't forget about the kickoff. That's right. Fantasy Football Podcast. Dan Harris, every single day, weekdays, gives you 15 minutes of NFL news, notes, quick hitting fantasy analysis, and classic Dan Harris quips. And it's already available wherever you listen to your podcast. So please, if you enjoy it, subscribe and leave a good review. Dan needs some good news here this week, obviously, too. Our good friend Tags, we know, is continuing to battle his sickness, too. And we are there and supporting Tags. It's been a rough go for him. But, you know, this team is here for you, and we are not going to let anything fall through the cracks. We've got so many shows for you. And Dan Harris, of course, crushing it as well, not just Yates. He's crushing life also. And don't forget, this is the time of year to get that premium subscription going in Fantasy Pros. And I keep telling you guys, this is it. fantasypros.com/offers. I don't know. I mean, look, there is no reason not to do this. $65 value of the Hall of Fame package you're going to get for $10. All you got to do is take that little $10. Again, that's like coffee and a muffin somewhere, probably. And all you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/offers. Make a deposit into one of our partner sites, play some more fantasy, and you get 6 free months of the Hall of Fame package. That's unbelievable. $65 value for $10 just for playing more fantasy. I mean, if you're not doing this, I just question your choices in life. As I am questioning my choices here, stuck with these two yet again, and for 12 straight hours together on Thursday. Boy, oh boy, we're going to come out pretty good for that. Let's get to the fantasy, though. Let's get to the questions, the pressing questions, the important questions. And let us start with this one, because this is a guy that's flying up the ranking charts. And I want to know, Mr. Yates, what is the Javonte Williams upside / ceiling in 2021?
So, I mean, the upside and the ceiling for Javonte Williams is a top 12 running back. Like, ooh, he's got all the traits. He's got all the abilities to his game that he could absolutely ascend to that. However, the thing standing in his way is another running back on that depth chart, and that is Melvin Gordon. So I think unless something were to happen to Melvin Gordon, then we are going to be looking at a pretty even timeshare here with these two running backs. And from Denver's perspective, they want to run the football. They want to win with their defense. They got a very, very solid defense. Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you lean on both of these guys? But Javonte Williams, from what we saw even in week one and going back to his tape at North Carolina, this guy can run the football and he's explosive. He can pick up some chunk plays, and we haven't even seen on full display his contact balance, right? That is one of the big traits that I loved on his tape coming out of North Carolina. So I think Javonte Williams, we might be talking about him taking over this backfield as the season progresses, but he's still, unless something happens to Melvin Gordon, he's not going to receive the 20, 25 touches per game that he would need to get into that top 12.
The Killers had a song called Mr. Brightside. If Dan Harris is anything, he's Mr. Downside. So, Dan, what is the Javonte Williams upside? And come on, let's be positive here this morning.
There is no upside. Everything. I'm sorry. Yeah, look, I love, I want to echo almost everything that Yates said. Like, he's a fantastic player. And if he was really just the guy in this offense, I'd be all over it. But yeah, it's going to be really difficult to, you know, get rid of Melvin Gordon. And frankly, Yates, I don't know about you, even if Melvin Gordon, you know, he's got this very minor groin injury at the moment, but even if he were injured, like, significantly, do we think that they're just going to turn it over to Javonte Williams entirely? Like, no, right? I mean,
it depends, because you've also got Mike Boone dealing with an injury too.
No,
and
that's true.
The other running back on the depth chart. So it's like, you know, who else are they going to bring
Royce
in?
Royce Freeman had some action in that.
Royce Freeman is still on this depth chart too. Yeah. So
Royce
yeah,
Freeman
I think
will never
see...
die, by the way. Just
so you know. Right. He is 100% just hanging around until the end of time. I think you would see Royce Freeman, of course, factor in. But again, this is a team that wants to run the football as much as they can. So, you know, if they are playing with leads, then they're going to lean on their run game, which means opportunity for Javonte Williams to hit that 20 touches. You know, maybe that's 15 carries and then 5 catches or 16, whatever. And then you have Royce Freeman sprinkling in as a change of pace. But, you know, yeah, I think there is some of that definitely needs to be addressed.
So for me, I think what I would say is basically, like, talent wise, he's got ton of upside, top 10 upside realistically, but I mean if he had the back, he would be borderline top 10 for me for sure. But with it, I think that unless Melvin Gordon is, like, significantly injured for a lengthy period of time or gets suspended, as we talk about kind of hanging out there, I really just don't see him getting much above, at absolute peak value, top 15 maybe at most.
Now, speaking of Melvin Gordon's groin, stay tuned, because at the end of this show for 15 minutes, Dr. Chow and Dan Harris are going to talk about that injury and a whole lot more. See what I did there, Dan Harris?
I'm going to be honest. I had no idea where you were going
you don't
with
need
that,
to
and
know.
I was super concerned. I was
Joe
so concerned.
When Joe has control of the show, I get so nervous. He always nails it. But there's
that
like
was.
A five-second
really
time. Right? Every podcast where I'm like, oh no, what's happening?
And then I'm the Sultan of Segway. And again, Dr. Chow, the best in the business at analyzing the injuries. And Dan Harris has bonus pod for you. So about 15, 20 minutes or so of the two of them talking injuries. So make sure you stay tuned to the end of this episode to catch all of that.
By the way, I will add that was a regular part of Dan and Kyle in the Morning on Fridays last year. It is going to be a regular part of Dan and Kyle in the Mornings this year. So every week, Dr. Chow, like last year, is going to be doing a segment, giving me the latest update. We're starting it a little earlier this year. Yay. But just wanted to plug that.
I don't know what you guys are worried about. Just buy a ticket and get on the Joey P train. Everything's fine. I got you. All right. Second question here. Is the industry wrong for ranking Najee Harris outside of the top 10 running backs, Dan Harris?
No, I rank him 12th. So clearly I think that Najee Harris should be outside the top 10 running backs. But look, that's much more just about the fact that there are a lot of really good running backs there. You know, the Steelers, I think, had 82.5 running rushing yards per game last year. The offensive line is bad. Okay, it was bad last year, and now it's somehow worse without Villanueva and DeCastro.
Well, hold on a second. I keep hearing this, and I want to go back to a rookie season of Saquon Barkley a couple years ago. That offensive line wasn't very good either. He looked pretty damn good. Why do we keep tying to it that the only way a running back can be good is if he has a good offensive line? Because clearly there's a little chicken and egg scenario there.
No one's saying that. I mean, I rank Najee Harris.
I think they're all saying it.
Nobody is saying that, which is why Najee Harris is right. What is he in consensus ranking? Somebody look it up while I'm talking and then I will look it up. But I am ranked 12th. That's an RB1 straight out of the draft when he has a really bad offensive line. He can succeed, but when you're talking top 10, look, who's getting out of that top 10. That's right. What I was saying. But here's the one thing I will say. So I looked at my projections, Joe, because I have him projected as a 12th running back. I have him at 9 total touchdowns. Yeah, I don't know what you have him at. 9. You know, I think it's 7 rushing, 2 receiving. If I give him 10, if I give him one more touchdown, he does make the top 10 running back. So it's definitely possible. That's not a huge deal. But for me, the top 10 running backs are very solid. So ranking him 12th is not fading him, but I do not think that the industry is wrong for ranking him outside the top 10.
All right, Yates, you know where I'm at. He's a top 10 guy for me. I'm already all in. How about you?
So Najee Harris is RB13 in ECR, RB11 in ADP. I've got him at 12 as well. From a projection standpoint, and this is how I've tweaked my rankings and process, I've got Najee Harris at RB11 in projections, but Nick Chubb with 249 fantasy points, Najee Harris with 248, Antonio Gibson at RB12 with 247. They are all right there. So if you want to make the case that Najee Harris could move up into the top 10, it's absolutely possible, but he's got to bump out a Jonathan Taylor, an Aaron Jones, a Nick Chubb, like one of those guys, you know, maybe Joe Mixon if it doesn't stay healthy. Like, he's got to bump out one of those guys to get into the top 10, and that's a very, very difficult thing for me to do. And it's not that the offensive line is like the end-all be-all for Najee Harris for him to not push up into the top 10 or even the top 5, but he's got to do it on the back of insane volume because the offensive line, the players that they've got there, it's not like it's a top-tier unit, right? And that's what Zeke has been for fantasy for so long, and why we've talked about Zeke as a top 5 fantasy running back for so long is because of the workload and then because of the offensive line. So Saquon Barkley was doing it on the back of that, you know, his rookie season. He was doing it on the back of 80-yard runs, 60-yard runs consistently. Najee Harris, that's not his game. He's not going to break off 60-yard runs, 80-yard runs. He's going to be a guy who wears down the defense with insane, you know, volume and wearing them down in between the tackles. That's what Najee Harris brings along with his receiving ability.
All right, let's move on to question number 3. Is Clyde Edwards-Helaire now primed to reach all the upside that we thought he could going back to last year's rookie season? Kyle Yates, the question goes to you.
This is one of the guys that I circle in my rankings and I just go, I feel like this is way too low for CEH. But at the same time, it's so difficult for me to find the volume based on what we saw last year to push him up into the top 12, you know, maybe even the top 5 like he was going last year, top 6, whatever it was. So with CEH, yes, he absolutely has the talent, absolutely has the opportunity and abilities to be able to prove my rankings absolutely wrong. However, I just can't take that leap of faith to be able to say that based on what we saw last year from Andy Reid, that CEH is going to get the type of volume necessary. Remember, there were games last year where he was getting 7-8 carries. That's not going to be enough, and especially when he's not being utilized and not finding the end zone. So that's just a concern, especially for an offense that passes as much as they do. And he's not, it's Patrick Mahomes. He's going to push the ball deep downfield. He's not looking to check it down with CEH. You know, if we had like an Alex Smith, you know, like from last year with JD McKissick, where he was constantly checking it down, or an Andy Dalton, a quarterback like that, then we would be talking about CEH as a top 10 fantasy running back for sure. But with Patrick Mahomes and his tendency to push the ball deep downfield, that doesn't leave CEH as a significant contributor in the passing game. So I just can't find the volume to be able to push him up into that range.
Dan, can you find that volume? Is this the time where maybe there's a new evolution of that Chiefs offense? Or is this going to be just the same old thing every year where it's Hill and Kelsey and Patrick Mahomes just finding the other open guy at the perfect moment? And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is always going to be one of these guys that, well, it could have been better, but it's still pretty good.
It's a little difficult to look at the Chiefs' offense and be like, you know what? We got to make some drastic changes to what's going on here, right? We got to really change the formula of what's going on. So I agree with Yates about the fact that the lack of volume is concerning. But I do want to ask Yates, where, you kept saying, you know, I don't know. I want to push him higher. I feel like I'm too low. I can't do it. Where do you actually have him ranked this year?
I think I have him. Let me pull it up. I have him.
I like how that's always a surprise to Yates. By the way, Joe, you'll get this whenever you ask Yates where you have someone ranked. He's like, "Oh, I know." RB 15. That question. What?
Do you even do rankings? So
you're not exactly fading him. It's 14th in expert consensus rankings. I also have him 14th. I think what the one reason why I think Joe, the bottom line is, I think I'd still answer yes to this. I don't expect a giant increase in volume or anything like that. But don't forget, even with last year, before Le'Veon Bell got there, he was the 11th running back in half PPR. This is in a rookie year where they didn't have a normal camp. Let's not forget that, right? Like no preseason, no normal camp. Now it's just, I don't think they expected to just necessarily throw him right in there and basically make him the guy. But I think they do this year. Again, Le'Veon Bell not being there is a big deal because even though he was, you know, a shell of his former self, they still gave him enough touches. He only had 5 touchdowns this year, Edwards-Helaire. If you just bump that up a little bit, which I don't think takes that much of a stretch, Yates.
No,
like,
it doesn't.
Think you can right, you can find those. Then he's going to get there. But at the same time, I do think that the lack of volume, which I agree with Yates, that's going to keep him from basically, in my mind, really being able to reach the top 5 or something like that. But can he be top 10? Absolutely.
I'll tell you this. I don't think he can reach the upside people thought last year, because last year he pushed himself into, I saw him go as high as 6 overall.
Right.
And that's not somewhere I think he's going to be. So from that perspective, it's a hard no for me, but I do think he's got upside to outperform his ADP, and that's something very interesting if you should take a Kelsey or you should take a Devontae Adams or something like that in the first round, and you're looking for the Gibsons, the CHs, the guys who have that upside. All right, let's take a break from the podcast for just a quick moment, just a very quick one. We don't want to take too much time, and I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, and of course, one of our sponsors is Manscaped. Now, everybody knows right around here that Yates is the king of Manscaped. He just came fresh from the barbershop just the other day. You can't tell right now because he's got the hat on the YouTube channel. I don't know why. I mean, he's got this glorious hair and he wears the hat all the time. I can't figure out. Me? You'd think I'd be wearing the hat, but no, no. Yates is always freshly Manscaped. And if you want to be like Yates, use the promo code Yates and go get that Lawnmower 4.0 and the Performance Package 4.0. The first three, we were just trying new stuff. It's the fourth one. That's where it's at. It's got the obvious, the ball trimmer, the weed whacker. It's got the ball deodorant, the crop reviver, the performance boxer briefs, the travel bag to hold all your stuff when you travel. Also, the Lawnmower 4.0, you may not know this, the longest battery life in the history of batteries. It actually powers small cities around, especially the area where Dan Harris lives. Yes. Sometimes when the power goes out, they just plug in that Lawnmower 4.0. Next thing you know, boom, power is restored to his lovely area up there in the Northeast. It's also got the 4K LED light, the skin-safe technology. It's basically the greatest male grooming tool in the history of grooming tools. And, of course, that code is Yates. So always think of Yates and tool when you put those two things together. Manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping can be yours just with the promo code Yates. And once again, your balls will thank you. Now, Yates, I know there's a lot of time that you're going to be spending getting ready, you know, for the long show we have today. Hopefully, you'll be freshly Manscaped for everything for that 12-hour fantasy football festival. I can only assume the answer is yes, correct?
Yes, of course.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get to the fourth question here. If you're drafting late in the first round, does it make more sense to take a wide receiver one, or should you hold out and take that large advantage provided by, say, Travis Kelce instead?
Who are you asking?
Let's go with Dan Harris on this one first.
That's a part of hosting, just so you know. You've got to go ahead and throw it to somebody.
Only I had been doing this for 10 plus years, you noobs who all have more Twitter followers than me. How did that happen, by the way? Only a decade in the industry, and because you know, Dan Harris has been here for a while.
Because I work for the greatest company in the history.
And now
of
so do I.
Sports.
So yeah, would you rather start with a big time wide receiver one or take the big Kelce advantage? Dan Harris, you're wearing red, so are you going to go chief here?
Let's just do the Dan Harris patented shoulder shrug right now, which is a whatevs. Look, there. Bottom line is this. I've got 9 running backs as my top 9. Once it gets there, I'm fine to go wide receiver with my first pick. Now, almost certainly, you're not going wide receiver, regardless. So you're going to get out of there with one running back. If you prefer to go with Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill and then get the running back, that's fine. I'm also fine to take the running back and go Travis Kelce. I personally have Hill and Adams ahead of Kelce, so that is probably what I would do because I don't really think there's that big of a difference. You can probably get Najee Harris when it comes back there or Joe Mixon. I'm totally fine with doing that. So for me, once you get to the end, I probably am taking, if it's Adams or Tyreek Hill. If not, then I'll take Travis Kelce and probably a running back.
All right. Yates, how about you? When you get down past that, let's say 10, 11, 12 area, you want to go take a Davante Adams in the PPR? You want to take the Travis Kelce? How do you like to approach that? Or is it still just running back for you no matter what?
No, I don't think that there's a wrong answer here between Davante Adams or Travis Kelce. Each one of those guys sets you up in a fantastic position to win this year, right? I mean, it's Travis Kelce. The positional advantage that he brings is insane. And then Davante Adams, the difference in projections for me from wide receiver one, which is Davante Adams, to the wide receiver two is drastic. So if you want to take Davante Adams there over, you know, a running back, I'm not going to fault you there. If you want to take Travis Kelce, not going to fault you there either. But at that turn, I do want to grab a running back. I don't want to get out of that turn without at least one of these top tier running backs, because by the time that it comes back around to me in the third round, I'm going to be looking at a pretty bare cupboard of running backs there. Some guys that have injury concerns, some guys that may not have the backfield completely to themselves. So at that turn, I'm fine going with a Davante Adams or Travis Kelce. I've got Davante Adams one spot above Travis Kelce in my ranking, so I would go Adams personally. And then, but I do want to make sure that I'm grabbing a running back at least at some point.
I would as well. I would do that same thing. Adams over Kelce by one. I also find it interesting because I've been playing around with this a little bit too, and I've also seen it in a lot of drafts unfold itself. The earlier you take Adams or Kelce in the first round, what's intriguing is the running backs that kind of do make it back to you because you've pushed again down a little bit some other players. And what's interesting is when you get those two picks in the second and third round, they're a little higher in terms of overall ADP. You do have shots on Gibson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, a 10-team league, you probably get a shot on a Najee Harris or somebody like that, even potentially in your home league. So consider that if you really love the advantage you get with those guys, there is a crop of running backs, and even all the way down to the Montgomery Carson kind of grouping too, that you can make that whole strategy work. Yes, Dan Harris, you raised your hand.
I did, actually. There are two things. First of all, if you have not ever rostered Travis Kelce in a fantasy league, please just roster Travis Kelce 1 year in a fantasy league if you can, because it is incredible. It's just crazy because, you know, you build the rest of your team and then you're like, oh wait, here's, you know, 15 to 20 half PPR points every week. I feel good about that. The only other, the raising the hand was when Yates said that he has like a large difference between Davante Adams and his next wide receiver in projections. I assume number two is Tyreek Hill, Yates, as your number two wide
receiver. In projections, I actually have DeAndre Hopkins at number two.
Wow. And how many fantasy points different in half PPR?
Between Adams and Hopkins?
Yes.
40.
Oh my God. So just to be clear, because I said I would take Adams or Hill. Hill is my number two, and I had them two spots apart with Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. So for me, it's 1A and 1B, then there's a drop. That's interesting. Okay, we're going to talk.
It's for me buying into the touchdown rate with Aaron Rodgers and the touchdown advantage that Davante Adams gives you.
I get it. We'll explore that on another podcast. Keep moving, Joe. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We answer all questions here. And what Yates is, you know, saying too, when he's got that much of an advantage, that becomes percentage points. That's almost like saying from a relative position value standpoint that Davante Adams is, let's say, 16% more productive than the fantasy league average wide receiver one. He's, you know, that's the drop off there. Then the next guy, a 40-point difference, is probably going to be somewhere like 12%. So there's an advantage there between the one and two in Yates' rankings based upon what he's telling me there, which is why Adams clearly is a first-round pick. Let's get to an important question regarding a quarterback for number five. Russell Wilson last year, the MVP narrative was strong in the offseason. It was strong in the first half of the season, especially when that defense was looking like an all-time bad defense. Then Jamal Adams came back, started sacking everybody. All of a sudden, defense played a little better. Offense kind of, I don't say went in the tank, but certainly lackluster, to say the least. Should we be concerned at all with Russell Wilson as a fantasy investment in 2021 based off what we saw in the second half? Yates? No. I said your name, so you must speak.
Thank you.
According
Thank
to Dan you. Harris.
Okay. No, we should not be concerned because we have seen the Seattle Seahawks make strides to fix what happened last year. Schottenheimer is now out as the OC. You've got Shane Waldron coming over from the Los Angeles Rams as the passing game coordinator under Sean McVay. He's going to bring that scheme over here. And what that scheme allows is the answers on offense in the horizontal aspect of the game. So what happened last year with Schottenheimer was a very run on first and second down, right? You have Chris Carson as that guy who's going to be able to kind of pick up the 5-6 yards, whatever, and then take vertical shots off of play action. And so that's why DK Metcalf is so good. Tyler Lockett as a deep threat downfield. But then they didn't have the personnel to be able to give the answers on the 3rd and 5 when defenses take away those vertical shots. And so what they've done this offseason after last year with Will Disley in and out of the lineup at tight end, and then you had David Moore as your wide receiver 3, you didn't have an answer to be able to go to on those third downs in the short aspects of the game, on the in-breaking routes to be able to take advantage of zone coverage. So Dwayne Eskridge, he is the answer to that. The guy who's going to be able to operate underneath and be able to pick up yardage after the catch because he is so, so good at that. And then Gerald Everett, who knows the scheme as well, who's shown that he can be a very productive fantasy tight end when he's given the opportunity. So he is now here as well to be able to give up the seam answers there. So they've made strides to be able to fix and make the offense less predictable. So I have zero concerns about Russell Wilson this year because of the personnel, because of who they brought in, because of the offensive changes here. I think that Russ has quarterback one upside again this year.
Dan, I've got Russell Wilson as a fantasy league average quarterback. He's a good quarterback. You rely on him, but he's not an advantage. In fact, there might be some guys who have the potential after him to maybe even outscore him this year. But how do you feel about him going into 2021 with his value right now after what you saw in the second half?
Yeah, I'm concerned. And I won't be like overly concerned such that I'm entirely avoiding him or anything. But he's 6th in our expert consensus rankings. I have him 8th, which in that range means I'm not going to get him. And Yates makes a lot of good points, and I don't really disagree with that much. The one thing, I think that's probably the plan going in right now. But again, what did we see last year? They let Russ cook in the beginning, right? And he looked fantastic. There was Russell Wilson's going to win the MVP. And then what happened over the final, whatever it was, 7 games, 37 pass attempts in the beginning to 32 pass attempts, 3.1 touchdowns per game, 1.7. So why did that happen? They were 6-1, then they lost to the Bills, and then they lost to the Rams. And suddenly what Pete Carroll said is, oh, you know what? This very quick, when we go 3 and out and we have this offense, it sort of goes and we're not building into the clock. My defense is getting absolutely exhausted. We have seen Pete Carroll coach in this league for a really, really long time. Joe, he has coached both of our teams. We have seen this forever. Yes. We know what Pete Carroll is. Don't tell me he's however old, 65 years old or whatever it is, and he's going to change. This all sounds good in theory. I bet you Wilson again gets off to a good start until they get blown out because they have a couple of bad offensive games or something like that, and their defense is exhausted, and he's going to want to go into a shell again. So I'm not entirely avoiding Russell Wilson, but it is something where, the little difference for me, I'm 8th as opposed to 6th in ECR.
All right, let's take another break from the questions and tell you about Fantasy Boss, the next evolution in season-long fantasy sports. Fantasy plus crypto plus smack talk in 3D. The first player-owned fantasy platform for us, by us. Anyone like crypto? Well, what better reason to stay involved in your season-long leagues than being able to win the crypto of your choice any given week? But beware, though, you'll need to beat the boss. For me, that's beating Dan Harris, but seems doable. Let's talk about the part of fantasy we like the most, and that's smack talk. Fantasy Boss makes it bigger, better, and in 3D. When a GIF or a meme just isn't good enough, let your digital double spread the joy of your dominance amongst your friends. Soft launch coming this fall. Limited spots are available. Join to help us shape the product for a chance to beat the boss and win crypto. Everybody wants to do those two things. So be a boss and take your game to boss levels. Sign up on the wait list to get notified when we launch this fall for your chance to win crypto. Sign up today at fantasyboss.com. Again, that's fantasyboss.com. Smack talk in 3D, Dan Harris. That sounds pretty intense. You like the 3D smack talk?
I do. I'm very old, so it's anything with 3D or, you know, new
technology. I said crypto and 3D.
I'm very nervous, but it does sound amazing. Yeah, I'm it. Okay. I'll try it. Yeah.
Social Security. Shh. Yes. Everything's going to be fine, Dan. Okay, very good. Let's get to another pair of questions here. Very important. And we can be quick with these because this is, I think I know the answers to all of this, but let's see anyway. Which Rams wide receiver is your preferred target and why? So go ahead, Dan Harris. The floor is yours. Which Rams guy do you prefer?
I think it's a pretty clear answer here. And it's,
I like Van Jefferson. Van Don't you fine. Poo-poo the Van Jefferson. Target.
So this is what I will say. I really, really enjoy drafting both Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Okay. I do have Robert Woods higher, and this is actually one of my favorite things about doing the projections, Yates. I have Robert Woods projected for 15 more fantasy points, okay, than Cooper Kupp on the season and a half PPR leagues. I have Robert Woods projected for 89 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown, which equals 15 fantasy points.
Right.
That's literally the difference, is the 15 rushing attempts that Robert Woods gets every year in the 100 yards rushing and maybe the weird rushing touchdown. That's the only difference between them, but that is why I do like taking Robert Woods slightly higher than Cooper Kupp. To be clear, I like drafting both of them, zero concerns. But because of the rushing, you know, that little bit, that is the reason why I like Robert Woods more.
Well, dare I ask you, Yates, but to me, I lean towards Woods also because of the health. Cups missed some time in the last few years. So that's my answer. What's yours?
Yeah, I've got Robert Woods ahead of Cooper Kupp by 7 fantasy points. So this is a very, very narrow gap here between the two. I do not think that you can go wrong with either one of them, but I am absolutely loving drafting Robert Woods at his current ADP this year.
All right, better question. Which Bucks wide receiver presents the most value based on their ADP? Again, that is the caveat for this question. Number 7, Yates, what's your answer?
It's Antonio Brown, and we've talked about it because of the value, right? If you had said, like, which Bucks receiver is going to finish with the most fantasy points, that's a different conversation. But when you bring in the value of it, it's Antonio Brown. And I think that it's really interesting. I went back through last night and did a projection sweep, and I moved up Antonio Brown significantly in my projections. And we talk about Dallas. We talk about the trio of wide receivers that they've got there and how all three of them could be very valuable. We talk about Denver, how it's like Dallas light, you know, and but then why aren't we talking about all three of these wide receivers as being similar to a Dallas, where you've got all three of these guys? You know, Rob Gronkowski's another year older. OJ Howard's not going to steal a ton of volume. They don't really have a, you know, they've got Giovanni Bernard out of the backfield, but and they're going to pass a ton. So why aren't we talking about all three of these guys as kind of in the same vein as Dallas? I moved up Antonio Brown significantly. I'm going to be, you've talked about it, Joe, you love having him on your roster as a wide receiver 3. I'm getting more and more comfortable with that each and every day.
I'm curious. Do your projections look something like, I don't know, 900 yards and 8 touchdowns?
Probably.
That's that in my mind. I think that's what I can get out of him. Dan Harris, what's your answer to that question?
It is Brown, you know, but I don't find him right now. I want to get myself more comfortable with moving Antonio Brown up in my rankings, but I just always sort of hit the ceiling, which is almost where he's being drafted. I mean, Evans is being drafted on average at 12.7. That's terrible value in my opinion. Godwin's at 14.7. That's about at cost. And Antonio Brown is 38.3 as at the wide receiver position in half PPR. I do think that that's a value, but I don't know, Yates, you said you moved him way up. I still have him 37th in my wide receiver rankings. Where do you have him?
So
now?
I had him a lot lower than that. I moved him up to 35.
Okay, so we're in the same range then. And at that, I love him there. Like, I'll take him there at all. Joe, what do you have? Are you like in, are you pushing top 30 at this point for Brown?
Look, I think I'm right around there as well. I think I'm right around 30. In fact, I will tell you right now. But
while you look that up really quick, 30... Joe, I said the Denver trio of wide receivers as like the Dallas light. I meant Cincinnati, just FYI.
That's okay. Yeah.
We don't listen 30... when you talk. It's fine.
Okay. All right.
That's what I thought you meant when you said it, but I was like, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy is not bad. And KJ Hamler.
KJ Hamler, right?
I actually think that's another trio we should be talking about.
We should move KJ Hamler up our
Even
rankings.
When you're wrong, wrong, you're still right. He is wide receiver 32 for me.
Yeah. So look, we're all in the same range, but Joe, it's true to brand. You are a little higher on him than certainly the consensus. True to brand is what, because you've been talking about the guy.
I am my own man.
Yeah. But I think what we're all saying is that for the most part, neither we don't love either the main, you know, Bucks wide receivers in terms of their ADP. We all have Antonio Brown, even minimally, higher than his ADP. So we do think we all agree he is the best value.
Just really quick, Joe, a news alert just came through from Brendan Sugru, I think is how you pronounce his last name on Twitter. Love watching individual receiver drills. Watching Darnell Mooney get in and out of his breaks reminds me of prime Antonio Brown. And that's not an exaggeration.
All the Darnell Mooney. But then again, this
it tied in.
Was...
It all.
By the way, you have not
Antonio
experienced
Brown.
True joy until Yates has made like a firm call on a wide receiver or a tight end, and they have a monstrous first week because Yates is literally the happiest human being that's ever walked on the face of the earth, and it's just a joy to watch. So let's
is
hope Darnell Mooney goes
Watkins
crazy
of
week
last
one.
Year. Is this the week one Sammy Watkins?
We got a Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley.
We forget about it.
Look, the Ridley one, we were all on last year. That was good. The Mooney one is fascinating because Mooney, I think, still flies way under the radar. And I was made a believer in that Thursday night game against the Bucs. I just, and it wasn't a good statistical game. It was one of those things that if this is what you know, you benefit from when you're able to sit down and really watch all the games as much as you can from a fantasy perspective. You see things about a wide receiver that you go, this guy with the right quarterback could be a really good player. And now, hopefully, we're going to get that. This is a question, actually, we bandied about because of the over-under for his season total over on the Betting Pro Show with Mike Randall yesterday. So check that out if you're making some wagers. Kyle Pitts, will he finish the season as a top six tight end? Yates, let's start with you because that number for him is set somewhere around 800 or so, and there's only a few guys that have ever come close to that number as rookie tight ends. So what are your thoughts on Kyle Pitts? Can he work out there enough to end up as tight end six or above?
Man, you look at the opportunity that he has in this offense, and you say, it's hard to see how he can't finish as a top six tight end. Yeah. You know, if it was any other situation for a rookie tight end and for a player that did not have the type of talent that Kyle Pitts does, I would be easily smashing the under on this one. But because it's Kyle Pitts, because he's an incredibly talented tight end, and because of the opportunity and just available targets in this offense in Atlanta, yeah, I think he can finish as a top six tight end.
Yeah, I kind of with you. I'm actually surprised we haven't gotten the Kyle Pitts helium. The industry has done such a good job, Dan, of tempering expectations, where I almost, you get the feeling like he's becoming a value in drafts. Like, I've started to look at Kyle Pitts, and I've gotten him in a couple mocks, and I'm like, I kind of like the value here. Yeah. I think this is actually really good.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about it a lot, which is you have the historical trend of every rookie tight end sucks. Like, that's right. Just what we have versus a unicorn prospect here at the tight end position. I'm with Yates. I've looked at him closely. You know me. I am like very, very scared to like really go out on a limb with rookies in particular. I generally fade them, not Pitts. And you're right. His ADP has held in check, probably because the industry is seeing everything that we are. But absolutely, I'm ranked fifth. I rank him as it. Not that he has the potential. He's going to be, as he stays healthy, he's going to be a top six tight end. Zero concerns for me.
This is a loaded question on number 9. You ready for this one? Who do you want to win the Saints QB battle? But who do you think does? Dan Harris.
Ugh. I guess it's probably the same answer for both. I think it's going to be Winston, and I think I prefer Winston. And really the only reason is because at this point with Michael Thomas injured, there's really one person on the Saints that we care about and that we're drafting, and that's Alvin Kamara. And it just feels like, to me, I don't know about you, Yates, I've thought about it, but I'd probably have their rushing attempts pretty similar. Kamara with Taysom Hill as a quarterback versus with Jameis Winston, probably pretty similar, but I just have him for 20 more catches if I think Jameis Winston is the starting quarterback versus Taysom Hill. So I think that's really the only person we really care about with Michael Thomas injured. I want him to do better, so I want Jameis Winston to win. And I just can't. I just don't see that Taysom Hill, that they're going to build a gimmicky offense for an entire season. So I go with, I hope Winston wins it. I think Winston will win it.
Yates, what do you think?
To quote Dan Harris from earlier on in the week, ditto.
Oh, ditto. Okay. Well, I'll just chime in with my two cents. I want it to be Winston. I think it's going to be Hill. And I think we're all going to be upset because at the end of the day, it's going to end up getting messy. Because I think without Michael Thomas, they look at Taysom Hill as a way to potentially be a different offense. And different doesn't always mean good, especially in the fantasy world.
Yep.
I think this is an offense, though, with certain DFS qualities about it that certain weeks you can target. But in season long, I want nothing to do right now with the Saints. But I think there will be some moments for them, especially if Hill is the starting quarterback and the right price. In some DFS lineups, we might take a look at him in the lineup potentially there. All right, question number 10. Who finishes as the Bengals' top wide receiver, Yates? You were very quick with your last answer. Obviously, you know, two very good names here at the top, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Maybe it's Tyler Boyd for you. I doubt it. But I figured I'd ask the question anyway because you all know Dan is super sour on Joe Burrow and the Bengals right now.
I have Ja'Marr Chase at wide receiver 23. I have T. Higgins at wide receiver 25.
So what does that mean?
This is going to be really close. And I think that we could get to the point where T. Higgins comes out the first 3 weeks of the season or whatever, and he's the wide receiver one in this offense, and then it starts to shift as the season goes along, and we see Ja'Marr Chase get his feet underneath him in the NFL. So, we shouldn't be counting out Ja'Marr Chase's talent just yet. I think that he will be the wide receiver one in this offense when this season ends. But it's going to be super, super close.
So the 3 or 4 week advantage that Higgins might have, that's still not enough, in your opinion, to suppress what Ja'Marr Chase upside could be.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's upside is through the roof.
Okay. That's just want to be specific there for everybody. Dan Harris, who finishes the season as the Bengals' top wide receiver?
I mean, I have T. Higgins ranked 23rd, and I have Ja'Marr Chase ranked 24th. And the difference between them is 5.3 half PPR fantasy points. It is 5 more receptions for T. Higgins, and it is 38 more yards for T. Higgins. So with strong conviction, with an absolute just hammer down, I'm going to say that it's going to be T. Higgins. Literally same player. I don't care which one you draft first, but I will go with T. Higgins.
Let's take another quick break to tell you about a sponsor of the show, and that's Air Medcare Network. Let's talk about the best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use that promo code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, Air Medcare Network memberships are the perfect protection that you should not go without. Again, that's airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Let's continue on with the questions. So many questions, so little time. We'll pick up the pace here. Number 11, who is the top 10 tight end at ADP you will regret drafting the most? This is a little warning shot here, Dan Harris. Tell everybody who the top 10 tight end now in ADP that you're going to regret the most. So don't do it, everybody.
I don't understand in what universe we live in where Rob Gronkowski is a top 10 tight end in half PPR ADP. I was shocked by that. I did not expect to see that. The fact that people are drafting him ahead of Robert Tonyan and Tyler Higbee is absolute, total, utter nonsense. Don't do that whatsoever. So yeah, the fact that that's a layup for me. He's clearly somebody who's going to disappoint outside, you know, within the top 10.
Yates, who's that name for you?
There's a few in this range that I would like flip-flop with Robert Tonyan, Tyler Higbee, Jonnu Smith, and I'll go with Dallas Goedert. I mean, even if Dallas Goedert takes over as the target leader at the tight end position, Zach Ertz is still here. Zach Ertz is still going to be taking away targets. Dallas Goedert's ADP has not fallen back down since the beginning of the offseason when people were projecting that Zach Ertz was going to not be here. He's still here, and it doesn't make any sense that Dallas Goedert is still tight end 8 in ADP.
Yep. Number 12, should Arizona's backfield be approached in what manner? Take both? Take one? Take none? Yates, how do you feel about Arizona's backfield when it comes to Connor and Chase Edmonds?
It depends on the ADP for Chase Edmonds, but I'm going to lean take neither.
Take neither. Dan Harris, one, none, or both?
In PPR, I will take Chase Edmonds just because I think that he's going to be enough to be a flex play where he's being drafted. Other than that, it's none. Edmonds just won't factor into the goal line enough. Connor won't get enough work and doesn't stay healthy enough. So I'm avoiding both other than Edmonds in PPR drafts.
The correct answer we were looking for is none. Thank you, gentlemen. Well done. Let's move on to the next one. 13, Chris Carson finished as RB9 in 2019 in half PPR leagues. Is he poised to possibly have a quietly surprising top 10 RB season if he remains healthy, Dan Harris? Is Chris Carson the possible top 10 running back that nobody's talking about?
It is possible, for sure. Chris Carson is an elite talent. He's in a good situation. He always produces when he's on the field, and if he gave me health, I'd be tempted to. The problem is, as we talked about with Najee Harris, it's a little tough to break through on that top 10 because you have a lot of quality backs right now. So to me, it's possible, but even if he stays healthy, I probably would put him at roughly RB12, RB11. So just outside that for me.
Yates, how about you? Chris Carson, does he have any possibility of cracking that top 10? A couple years ago, there was that pace, but then again, on pace is a dangerous drug.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think that he can get there if he can stay healthy, but that is a big, big if at this point. So I think that he has all the talent. He has all the opportunity in front of him. It's just a matter of staying healthy. And like Dan said, you're going to need someone else in that top 10 to miss time with an injury to move out of there in order for Chris Carson to slide his way in. But I've got Carson at RB14 on the year. So I think that he is an incredible value. If you go into your league with Chris Carson as your RB2, you should be pretty happy.
All right, two more questions here. Which David Montgomery are we going to get this year? The 2019 David Montgomery or the 2020 David Montgomery? Yates, which David Montgomery are we getting in 2021?
I definitely think that we're going to see more of the 2019 David Montgomery. Now, that doesn't mean that he is not going to have fantasy value. Like, he is still going to be a very, very productive fantasy football running back. But the upside to get to RB4 or whatever he finished last year just simply isn't going to be there, because he's not going to face the defenses that he did at the end of the season last year. And with Tariq Cohen, you know, that's the factor here, is that Tariq Cohen is not coming back to start the season here. He's still working his way back from that ACL injury. But you do have Damian Williams in this backfield. You do have Khalil Herbert as well, who's showing out here. So I think there's enough there where Montgomery will see an uptick in receptions to push him maybe up into the top 15, but to expect top five production from David Montgomery, that's not going to happen.
I would agree with you're not going to get top five. There's too much talent ahead of him and too much volume potentially ahead of him, but I think this guy can be an RB1 again for sure, and that's where I'm going to stand, and I'm going to respectfully disagree. I think he's one of the better values out there, and if you look at the schedule, he doesn't face a whole lot of really good run defenses on the schedule, period, so who knows? It could just match up again. Dan Harris, he did what he was supposed to do. You want to give David Montgomery some respect to what?
Yeah, I do. I lean a little bit more towards you, Joe. And again, I don't think he's going to be his 2020 self, because that was just ridiculous. But I kind of think he's going to be closer to that than he otherwise would be. And, you know, you make a point with Damian Williams, of course. But I really do think that Cohen is the guy who really takes away a lot of his receiving work and all things like that.
Guys in the Tariq Cohen.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. What I mean is Cohen, right, because he's injured and because he's not there, I think that's going to leave a lot more work for Dave Montgomery. That's the bigger threat. So for me,
right,
I don't think he's going to be the last year version of himself, but I think he's going to be closer to that than he will be the 2019 version of himself.
The correct answer is he's going to be the 2021 version, which is even better. It's just the problem is all the other running backs will be healthy, so he can't finish top five.
That's fair.
You know, when Christian McCaffrey and Saquon and all those guys don't play, it's, you know, it's easier for a guy to finish as a top five running back. Just want to say. All right, last question, and this one's a doozy. DJ Moore, we love DJ Moore. We're fans. We write letters often. We correspond. It's very nice. But the lack of touchdowns really have been a thing for him. Kyle Allen throwing the football, not so much with the touchdowns. Teddy Bridgewater, not so much with the touchdowns. Is this the year he finally catches a bunch of touchdowns, Dan Harris, and DJ Moore becomes the wide receiver one we all want him to be?
No, it's not. I wish it were. I like him. I love him as a talent. But what does he have? 10 touchdowns in 3 years?
What do you got? Why have you touched him? 10 touchdowns? What do you do?
You got 10 touchdowns in 3 years. McCaffrey is back. And like, okay, great. Teddy Bridgewater had like a 3.4% touchdown rate. And yeah, you go to Sam Darnold, who has like a 3.7% touchdown rate. And again, you've got Darnold's connection with Robbie Anderson. He looks for him, you know, again, for around the end zone. So for me, I love DJ Moore. I'm happy to draft him, projecting him for not that many touchdowns, but you really probably need to get up to 9-10 touchdowns if you're going to break through to wide receiver one status. I do not see that happening this year.
I got really excited by this question, and Dan Harris just knocked me to the floor. Yates, please pick me back up here at the end.
You're going to have to get different. You're going to have to get a much, much different version of Sam Darnold than what we have seen throughout this point of his career in order to get that touchdown upside for DJ Moore. I think he has all the talent in the world. I think that he absolutely can get there, but it all depends on the quarterback play. And so I cannot comfortably project that to happen, but I want to see it happen so badly.
That's right.
I know. We all want it. And you know what? You guys are right. So just going to sit here on the floor and contemplate life. And while I do enjoy Dan Harris having a great discussion about other injuries, see that again, see what I did, more injuries with Dr. Chow and Dan Harris right now, the breakdowns and everything you need to know for your fantasy football investments coming at you.
All right, thanks, Joe. So as you guys know, one of our most well-regarded segments last year was the quick Friday morning injury update with Dr. David Chow from Pro Football Doc. And this year, we are running it back again. We are really excited about it, but we're not going to wait till the regular season. We are going to get it started right now. Here he is, the man, the myth, the legend, on video, Dr. Chow, on Twitter, at ProFootballDoc and at ProFootballDoc.com. Doc, so glad to be doing this again with you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I decided to take off my hat here in surgery since yours is cooler than mine. Yeah. So I couldn't
I would have left it. I thought you looked good. I mean, certainly, you know, you're going to be opining on injuries. That's what looks good. Before we get into it, why don't you give me just a little update on what you've got going on the injury side? Because, you know, we were chatting a little bit before we started recording and some pretty cool stuff.
Well, we're always looking to break new ground. If you're standing still, you're getting behind, right? And so it's more on the same theme and mantra, which is we're insider knowledge, being a former NFL team physician, trying to interpret and extrapolate not trying to regurgitate the coach said this, the GM said this, this reporter said this, but looking at source material and interpreting what's happening. And can you be 100% right? No, never. But, you know, you are ahead of the game and hopefully right more often than wrong. And I try and give my reasons why, where I think about things. And right now, the biggest thing we have at ProFootballDoc.com is the preseason injury preview, where literally it's 73 pages and growing of all 32 teams, the injuries from last year in training camp. It's a live document. You go to ProFootballDoc.com, and it's a free download. But you probably have to go back every couple of days because it gets updated with information. So it is sort of a living document that way. And that's free through the website and create your own account, et cetera. And then this season coming up, everyone knows we've done injury index, right? You know, the Chiefs versus the Bucks, and we pan the Chiefs offensive line, right? And obviously that was the big factor. And we also said thumbs up on the Bucks defensive line, right, with Vita Vea being healthy and obviously JPP and all the pass rushers there, right? But we're taking another level this year. We're going to do something called individual things called a SIC, S-I-C score. So Michael Thomas, his first week back, what's his SIC score? Carson Wentz, when he plays, or Saquon Barkley, and we'll talk about what's his SIC score. So if the fantasy projections at Fantasy Pros has Saquon Barkley at 18.9 points, that's usually based on assumption that he's healthy. Well, how healthy is he or not? If he's in the 90s, you can probably rely on the projections. If he's 43, you might want to look at your other options. And so that's one of the new things that I think a tool that fantasy people will want to utilize. It's a projection of their percentage of health status. Is he questionable, a player, but he's really full go? Or is he questionable, as we talked about last year sometimes, like first week one of the season, Mike Evans, he's a decoy. He's questionable even if he plays. He's a decoy. He would have had a very low SIC score. So we have an algorithm and, you know, to feed in stuff and with my eyes and percentage and types of players, this type of injury, et cetera. And we're going to try and hit that pretty hard this year. And it should be fun and exciting.
Yeah, getting injuries right is really one of the keys to fantasy success. So you mentioned a couple of guys. We're going to talk about them now as you get into draft season. Let's start with Saquon Barkley. He is back doing individual drills as he recovers from off-season ACL repair surgery. The Giants are probably not going to contend, so you just have to think, generally speaking, they're going to be a little careful with Saquon regardless. But just from a physical standpoint, do you think he's going to be able to be ready by week one? And if so, is he going to be, do you think, full go right out of the gate?
Well, and I'm glad you asked the question in two parts. What prognosticating will he or won't he play is among the hardest things that I do. Because we've talked about this. Return to play is a three-headed monster. It has to be, medical has to clear him. The team has to say we want him to go. And the player has to feel like he's ready. Let's take Saquon, for example. If medical doesn't clear him to play week one, he's not playing. But if medical says it's safe for him to play, Saquon might say, I don't feel like I have my legs under me yet. Let's wait. Okay. Or Saquon may say, let me go. But the team, since they're not contending, says, well, let's just wait a little bit. Right. So this is why it makes prognosticating will he or won't he play week one very difficult. But you know me, I always try and take a stand, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Sure.
All I'm saying is there's no way that Saquon Barkley is 100% week one. Okay, think about it. He got hurt early season. He had almost 10, 11 months before training camp. He was still on PUP to start. So, okay, he's got a few extra weeks. But if after 11 months or 10 months, you're not there, is the 11th month all of a sudden going to make you 100%? No, right? If you look at the video, and we have some YouTube videos, if you go to my Twitter timeline, or I'll try and repost it, it's at the website too, podcast as well. The leg girth is not the same. And the way he cuts is not the same. And we go through specific reasons why. I'm not doubting it's possible that Saquon plays week one. I'm doubting it's possible that he plays at anywhere near 100% week one. Now you're going to say, well, when's he going to get there? You know, it's recovery is not a light switch. It's more of a slow sunrise, right? So let me see when the sun first starts peeking over the horizon and gauge the clouds and the haziness and whatever, and we'll update you more. But if you're counting on a strong in fantasy Saquon Barkley from the get-go, I think you have to have, I'm not saying don't draft him. I think you need contingency plans. It depends on where he comes to you, right? Obviously, should I draft him or not depends on what round and what position and who you have, right? It's not just an isolated decision.
Yep. Well, again, I mean, if you want Saquon Barkley, you're going to have to take him in the first round. And there's an adage that you can't win your league in the first round, but you can lose it. So that is good for at least fantasy managers to know about. Let's talk about Dak Prescott, though. So we've got a shoulder injury. We've got a positive first MRI. Then we've got, it's not a setback, but we're going for a second MRI. That's not to mention that he's coming off what was obviously a really, really just awful looking ankle dislocation and fracture. So he is fifth in our consensus ADP, average draft position among quarterbacks. Do you think fantasy managers should be scared of drafting Dak Prescott this year?
Not really. Here's why I say not really. There's an adage when I was in the NFL with the team, never too high, never too low, right? I mean, you got to be more even keeled. And the minute Dak was injured with that ankle, I was optimistic he'll be ready week one. It's not the end of his career and what have you, but he might not be 100%. And yeah, he's pretty close. He's in the 90s with his ankle. But because his ankle wasn't fully strong, he probably overthrew and strained his latissimus, right? And then people said, oh, my God, the team said, no big deal, nothing to see here, basically. And even there was word of fatigue. I get Mike McCarthy backtracked on that. But I was saying BS, a positive MRI doesn't show up with fatigue, okay? This is going not day-to-day. This is multi-week. Now, even back then, at the beginning of training camp, I didn't think it would leak into the regular season. But I also didn't think it was a nothing couple day, 1 week thing. And now we're 3 going on 4 weeks in. Yes, he's coming back around. He's throwing some, not all throws being worked in, right where we said. So in the beginning, I didn't think it was nothing. And when he got the second MRI, I didn't pull the ripcord alarm and said it was terrible. I kind of been about the same. It's going to cost him most of, if not all, this preseason. But he should be ready and he will play week one and play fairly well, I believe. Between the ankle and the shoulder.
Good. That's good news. That's how I've been approaching it. I haven't moved him in my rankings because everything I've seen suggests like, okay, we're going to take it slow, but we do expect him to be ready for week one. Let's talk about his teammate though, Amari Cooper. We haven't really seen much of him as he recovers from an ankle injury. Now there's word that he may play in this weekend's game against the Texans, but there's been some soreness here. So really the same question about Saquon Barkley, do you think that he is going to be physically able to return by week one? And if so, do you think he's going to be able to return at 100%?
I believe that he will be able to play week one. However, even when Dak's shoulder was hurt several weeks ago and there was no prognosis in playing, I put out video and reports saying I continue to be more worried about Amari Cooper than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott will be fine. I also believe Amari Cooper will play week one, but I also believe Amari Cooper will have to deal with the ankle and work through it this year. Think about this now. He had an ankle issue last year. He had a cleanup scope in January. That's typically a 6-week recovery timeline. By 6 months, he had soreness, bone inflammation, all that stuff he was talking about. You think in 1 month, by 7 months, it's going completely away? I mean, the Cowboys didn't mismanage him. They're doing what they can. So I believe Amari will play. I believe he will play through this all. But I think what we're going to find when this season is over, yeah, my ankle was bothering me some beginning of the year, bothering me some this season. That's what I think we're going to find. I'm not saying he's not draftable. Sure. And I think thanks to you, Dan, you've got me down the fantasy rabbit hole now. I went from never really doing fantasy leagues except for one family where I drafted half the teams and, you know, the one-year-old picked the teams to last year joining Scott Fishbowl. Mm-hmm. And this year I'm fortunate enough to come back with Scott Fishbowl. And now I'm doing Warrior Bowl and Raz Bowl. So this is like, yeah. And let me tell you, because of that, And I put out this information publicly on Amari Cooper, so I wasn't hiding it against the other guys. But no question, I drafted CeeDee Lamb when I could.
Yep.
Because that was one of the reasons.
Yeah, Lamb has been one of the biggest risers in average draft position, and Cooper's injury is part of that. Let's talk about a guy who most fantasy managers are not drafting anyway, but his injury could have an impact on other players who fantasy managers are drafting, and that is Carson Wentz. Here's all I know, Doc. Foot injury, foot surgery, 5 to 12 weeks, which just seems maddening to me because it doesn't really give me all that much information. Now, again, he's not really being drafted, Wentz himself, outside of Superflex leagues, but his health is going to have an impact on the performance of Jonathan Taylor, of Michael Pittman Jr., of T.Y. Hilton. So what do we make of this when you've got such a wide timeline?
You already mentioned it. You've never heard of this wide 5 to 12 weeks timeline. I haven't either, okay? Have I heard of, depending on what happens, 6 to 12 weeks? I have. Have I heard of 4 to 12 weeks? I have. Just like I have never heard of 5 to 12 weeks, I've never heard of 6 to 13 weeks or 6 right. to 11 mm-hmm. weeks. Our brains, but we don't say things like that, okay? And medically, it doesn't make sense to me. So what that told me, once again, off of insider knowledge of how things work, is that the Colts wanted to say 5 to 12 weeks because they were perpetuating the notion that he could be ready week one. Magically, 5 weeks was week one. Mm-hmm. And so they were perpetuating that. And I said that. That's my belief. Now, certainly we hear reports of he's doing better, he's walking around. Maybe, but you would have never come up with 5 to 12 in the first place. You would have said 4 to 8 or 4 to 12. And maybe he's doing better. But remember, walking around in practice at a brisk pace is not playing NFL football. And here's what you also have to factor in. Now, there's also leaks that are purposeful from teams and misdirection and who knows, right? That's what we have to filter through. But the owner has come out and said, now, is the owner's word hold here? I don't know. But Irsay has come out and said, he's not playing week one unless he's 100%. I'm telling you here, he will not be 100%. Now, in the end, does Frank Reich and Chris Ballard decide to play him at 95%? Maybe. Week one, maybe, but I've stuck to the idea, especially from the get-go, I thought he would return in October. Is it week one or the last week of October? I don't know. That was my target. Yes, the word out on the street is maybe he's doing better, maybe it moves up some, but let me tell you, he's not playing week one if the criteria is to be 100%. Look, he's walking around briskly at practice right now. Even if he started practice tomorrow,
right.
Is he at 100% for week one? I mean, you see where we're going with that timeline. That's not to say the Colts don't reverse field and say we don't have anyone else in a 90% Carson Wentz is good for the team. He's not at risk of further injury and let's play him week one, right? But it's a fallacy to say that he's 100% for week one.
All right. How about Devonta Smith? There is very little that people seem to be worried about with this. It was a sprained MCL. Everybody just said 1 to 2 weeks, maybe 1 to 3 weeks, but that would have given him time enough to be ready for week one. Another question. Do you think he's ready for week one? If so, is he 100%?
I think he is ready for week one. I think he is close to 100% for week one. When it first happened, I said the downside isn't, my worry wasn't that he wouldn't make it for week one. My worry was he wouldn't get all the practice time as a rookie in acclimation to the systems for week one. And that's kind of happening. I see videos being posted. Initially, people say, oh, look at how well he's doing. Well, this was last week. I'm like, no, he like chop, 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 chop into the cut right. and out. Very slow, right? Now, this couple days ago, there was a great video. We had made a great move. But you got to understand, he did a one-cut plan on his right healthy knee, not his left injured knee. So look, if you only have half the route tree, how effective will you be? I think he will be ready to go week one and near 100%. And so our six score on him probably projects to be pretty high, but how much confidence do you have in a rookie week one who hasn't had a preseason of acclimation to the NFL? This isn't a veteran receiver. It's a very talented receiver, but you know, the NFL is still a jump up, even though from Alabama.
All right, I'm going to give you one extra bonus one just because we have a disagreement here among the fantasy analysts. It's Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow. And again, Joe Burrow didn't just have the, you know, torn ACL. He had like everything in his knee sort of exploded. And, you know, I read about the typical timeline from a torn ACL surgery is 9 months. That would put him right at the start of the season. He's obviously practicing. There were reports that he did not look good early. Is that a physical thing? Do you think physically he's going to be ready? And the biggest hurdle really for him is mentally, because when you have that sort of injury, you get a little skittish. But physically, is he, do you think, going to be ready to go at essentially 100% at the start of the season?
Okay. I love your questions because they're so precise and allows me a chance instead of just yes, no, and what have you. That's why I love talking with you. So remember what I said earlier and about never too high, never too low. When Joe Burrow was injured, I said it was ACL, MCL, and kneecap. And remember ESPN that Monday night was saying that fellow should sit out the whole next season. And I said, whoa. He's going to, I believed at that time, and I put out video saying, I believe he will be ready week one. But I didn't say he would be 100%. Okay. And What are you seeing out of Joe Burrow right now? You're seeing a rookie that excelled, who got injured, who lost valuable experience, who spent an offseason rehabbing, who is ready to play, just like Carson Wentz, who had a very similar injury back in the day and whatever. And Carson Wentz returned to have over 100 quarterback rating, or a very high quarterback rating, and made the Pro Bowl that year. But even if you look at breakdown Carson Palmer's season, his second half of the season was better than his first half. That's what I expect out of Joe Burrow. Not only is his knee going to have to work his way into better health and confidence, not only is he going to have to take a shot on that lead leg, he's going to wear the braces for protection, dust himself off and realize it's okay, stick his front foot in the ground and let it rip. But also look at all the practice time and growth this young player has missed. And here's the problem, right? And we see it in baseball all the time. The first timer, look, my Padres the other day got no hit by a Double-A pitcher. Probably because they have no book on the guy, right? Yeah. And they've been in a slump, okay? But now that there's a book on the guy, it gets harder. Like, this is why you see a quarterback can light it up 1 week or 2 weeks, but by week 3, 4, it's hard to sustain, right? Well, Joe Burrow's got a head start on everybody and did very well. Now they're coming back at him, and now he's got to grow more. And it is mental. It is physical. It's all of the above for him. But I still think he's going to be ready to start and play week one, but give him a chance. Don't jump on him week one or two. By week 10, he'll be a different player.
Great stuff. As always, Zachen, we'll have to have you on the baseball show one time, because if you're a Padres fan, I need you to tell me how Fernando Tatis Jr. is a superhuman person, given his ability to constantly come back.
I'll give you a little thing on Fernando Tatis. Back sure. In April, I said it's a matter of when, not if, that he's going to need surgery. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's now happened a fourth time and a fifth time. And it's happened all these different ways. But that kid is the Matrix. The latest article I wrote, tell me if you like this. I said, Fernando Tatis as to Major League Baseball, as Patrick Mahomes as to the NFL.
Sure.
And what I mean by this is they both have the hair. They both have the flair. They're both young. They both have lifetime contracts with small market teams. They're the most exciting player. They're every little kid's favorite. My son, Patrick Mahomes and Fernando Tatis. That's all it's about, right? And they're sons of major league or professional players. They comport themselves really well. And they contort their bodies and everything that they do. The Matrix, including Patrick Mahomes and his arm angles and different things. And they both have played through injury. Remember Patrick Mahomes dislocating his kneecap and coming back to win the Super Bowl. Fernando Tatis with his dislocated shoulders. So that's been what I've been saying, and it's unbelievable that he's able to play through. Think about this. The beginning of the season, when he dislocated his shoulder, falling through and letting go with the top hand, they said, well, just change his swing. I was like, wait, change your swing? Did Tim Tebow ever change his throwing motion? I mean, for that matter, did Phillip Rivers, right? And he did very well.
Right. Okay?
To be fair. But it's just very difficult to change your throwing motion in an offseason, much less in season. Here's a guy changing his hitting swing in season, but, you know, he did it. He's unbelievable. And, you know, he'll have surgery as soon as the season is over, sooner or later, and hopefully later, and stay healthy. But both those kids, Patrick Mahomes and Fernando Tatis, unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. All right, Doc, it was great catching up. Fantastic information, as always. Very quickly, remind everybody where they can find you, where they can find your work.
Twitter at ProFootballDoc, but really everything comes first at ProFootballDoc.com. If it's not there and you have a question, tweet at me. You will have a question thing, and I'll be sure to answer it.
Great stuff, as always. I want to thank Dr. Chow for being a guest of the show. Dan Harris, another killer interview from Dan Harris. He is really proving to be the Barbara Walters of the fantasy football industry. There's no doubt about that. In many, many ways.
Dan's like, I can roll with that.
I'll take that. Barbara Walters, absolutely. We're the same age, oddly enough. So it's cool.
There you go. You are the same age. I also want to thank all the sponsors of today's show, airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros once again to get Air Medcare Network, because you never know when a medical emergency is going to arise, and Air Medcare Network can be there for you. Fantasy Boss, Fantasy, Crypto, Smack Talk in 3D, everything that Dan Harris is afraid of. Sign up today at fantasyboss.com to be part of the launch this fall, Fantasy and Crypto together. And don't forget about Manscaped. Don't forget about yourself. Don't forget about that body hair that gets out of control. Use that promo code Yates. Get 20% off and free shipping for your Manscaped needs. Once again, your balls. Well, thank you. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Yates and Dan Harris, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.